All right. Look, man. Come on. All right. We have, there's prayer requests that came in. Amber's family, you said, Shirley? So Amber's family is in a place where they're having the fires, and they've evacuated some of her family, I think. Grandfather, not everybody. So we need to pray for Amber's family tonight. And let's see. I don't know, is anything else urgent, like pressing urgent? Go ahead, Renee.
My children.
Your children. Pray for them for what? So salvation? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Shirley. Okay. Good. Good. All right. He'll know something. All right. Well, good. All right. Well, let's... I'll tell you where we're at. Genesis chapter 32 tonight, and so you can turn there, and in the meantime we will pray. All right, Father, I lift up first of all Amber's family to you. I pray that you would keep them safe. I pray that you'd provide a escape or just some help there where they're at. Thank you for getting her grandpa out safely, and I pray you'd provide safety to the rest of the family as well. And then for Renee and for his children, that's just really burdened for their salvation, and I pray that you would get a hold of their hearts and that they'd be saved. And then for Chris's job situation, as he's on the phone here, pray that you would intervene, whatever the situation needs to be. Pray that he'd get the job. Obviously, he wants the job. And pray that that would come through. And then for this evening, I pray that you'd help us get what we need out of these verses we're going to read and learn about power with God. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Did y'all come by yourselves? You did? Really? Did you drive? Don't say that. All right. Did y'all come for the food? Good. All right. All right, Genesis chapter 32. Nick, I can't believe you're driving. Welcome to the country, huh? Genesis 32. So in this chapter, you've got Jacob, who is heading back home. And now he's going to run into Esau, and if you remember the last time he and Esau had any dealings together, he stole a blessing from Esau, and so he and Esau's relationship is not good. Jacob and Esau are brothers, by the way, and so Jacob's worried that this encounter with Esau is not going to be good. And so he comes up with a plan. He asks God to help him, and he's just so worried about seeing his brother, remembering how he had tricked his dad and kind of manipulated the situation so he could get the blessing and all that stuff. And so that's where this chapter is. But another very famous account that goes on in this chapter is Jacob's wrestling with an angel, which is a pretty weird thing. I mean, it seems weird. You know, there's these angels show up periodically in the Old Testament, and they show up to, seems like, specifically Israelites, and well, maybe not just Israelites, but I know they show up to Balaam, and so that happened. But a lot of times, or most of the time, seems like they show up to Israelites or Hebrews, and Jacob encounters this angel and he wrestles with him, and Jacob really demands, you know, that the angel would bless him. And it's just it's kind of an interesting story. I mean, it's real, it's a history, but it's just it's kind of a weird thing, or it seems weird. Maybe if we knew more about the situation, it wouldn't be so weird. But Jacob wrestles with his angel, and if you remember, after wrestling, the angel blesses him and tells him that, he says this, look in verse 28. We're just going to skip down to this verse because this is kind of what the point of the whole thing is. Verse 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." So Jacob is Israel. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So this whole chapter, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. That's the main thing we're going to talk about this evening, is the wrestling of Jacob and this angel. And Jacob successfully grabbing hold of this angel and wrestling all night, and not that he pins him down or anything, but apparently he's kind of like latched onto his ankle like a dog or something. And the angel just, I mean, he gives in. He says, "All right, I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you, and or at least say it this way: you have power with God. It's clear that you have power with God." And so, but in all that, the angel knocks Jacob's hip out of socket, which is got to be excruciatingly painful. And Jacob will forever after this point in time walk with the staff. I mean, he's not going to be able to walk right. And so all of that said, that phrase, all that's sort of the whole chapter summed up. And there's a lot of other things we could probably preach on in the chapter. You know, how how Jacob kind of prepares to meet Esau and all this kind of thing. But that phrase really stuck out in verse 28, that the angel says, "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And so it got me thinking about this. The way, I guess, people think about what power with God looks like versus what power with God actually looks like. And for instance, I'll give you an example. Somebody is maybe successful in business, and some people believe this, that if they are successful in business, that means God is on their side and they have some sort of power with God because of what's in their bank account. And that's called, in Timothy, he calls that people thinking that gain is godliness. And so there's this that's kind of a worldly view of religion. It's sort of a worldly view of spirituality, that ultimately, if I can get rich off of it, if I can you know, be an influential person, if I can have a lot of stuff, have a lot of toys, have a lot of property, then that is somehow power with God. The reality is, after this encounter, and it's a pretty distinct difference, after this encounter that Jacob has with the Lord, and after the Lord tells him, yes, you have power with God, there are some things about Jacob's life that change that are pretty consistent with people in the Bible who actually have power with God. And they're not, it really doesn't have anything to do with wealth. It doesn't have anything to do with how much real estate you have. What it has to do with, and I'll show you three things here, but I think of people in the Bible, just to sort of carry on this thread of thought here, people like Ruth in the Bible. This is a lady who is a Gentile, who is a heathen, who's, you know, she's like us. I mean, we're just American heathen people, and but she's not like us in that she's a pretty incredible lady. She's the only lady in the Bible that's called the virtuous woman. Only one. But she clearly has some, God has his eye on her. And he records a whole book about her and Boaz and their story there. And so what you find out is that God, people who have power with God, they look quite different, and what power with God looks like is quite different than what you might imagine it looks like. And so going back to the story with Jacob wrestles, and let's just read the account. We'll read the account in Genesis chapter 32, and then I'm going to give you three things that are noted about this whole a man having power with God here. Genesis 32, 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." So that's the encounter. And that idea shows up. Jacob wrestles, and he prevails. He seems to be. It doesn't necessarily seem like he has him pinned or anything, but it just seems like he puts up such a fight and such a wrestling match that this man, this angel, can't get away. And so I don't know how else to explain all that, but there is clear. It's pretty clear that three things happened to Jacob in the context of him having power with God, and those three things are these. The first thing that happens is that Jacob is marked for life now. What happens to Jacob in this night will forever reverberate throughout his life. He will all the way to the end of his life have a staff in his hand, and he will have to walk with a limp. And so he will. You say, what does power with God look like? It looks like walking with a limp. That's what it looked like in Jacob's life. It looks like the flesh has been afflicted now. Now there's some affliction that's come to it. And so I give you an example, just another example here. Sometimes I've had this experience as, you know, a pastor and visiting people, and I know other pastors have had these experiences, but you go visit somebody, maybe to be a comfort to them, they're sick, back when you could actually be in the hospital, you know, and you go visit somebody in a hospital, and in their affliction, this person is in their affliction, their body is just broken, but they provide more joy and become more of a blessing than you ever, I mean, you go to be a blessing, but what happens is they are a blessing. And what you realize is this person has power with God. I thought I was going to show up and pray and be a help to them, and I thought maybe I was the one carrying the power with God so I could help them, and I showed up in the room and they helped me in the affliction. So what does it look like? It often looks like the flesh just being afflicted. Here's Jacob, and what does it look like for him to have power with God? It looks like his hip is out of socket and he can't walk anymore hardly. And that is power with God. That's what it looks like. It's like, you know how people talk about, you have birthmarks. People are born with these certain marks on their body. I think about it this way. I don't know how else to say it other than it's not birthmarks, but it's like new birthmarks. Like a new birth has happened and the body is scarred from the experience. The body is shaken. The body has been afflicted because of the experience. And it reminds me so much of what Paul said when he's getting so frustrated with the Corinthians and how they're listening to these false teachers who are coming in and trying to, I don't know, they're trying to lead them away from Jesus Christ. And so he says this regarding new birthmarks in his own body. I'm just going to read it to you. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. He says this. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so he said, after all that, he says, who's weak? Am I not weak? Who's offended? And I burn not. Like, you're offended? Maybe I'm a little offended too. Maybe you got a little burr under your saddle. Maybe I did too. And you could tell he's frustrated. He's talking about, I speak as a fool, you know, because he's so frustrated with the situation. But he talks about, this is what power with God looks like. These guys coming in trying to teach you stuff, they haven't done any of these things. They haven't suffered any of these things. This is what my life looks like now because I am trusting and serving Jesus Christ. Let these people who are trying to lead you astray show you where it costs them to do what they're doing. I guarantee you it didn't cost them anything because they're making money doing what they do. And so, and Paul is just, I mean, he's just had it up to here with the these people talking about religion and relationship with God and all this stuff that they're talking about has nothing to do with reality. So what does power with God look like? What does it look like? Well, in Jacob's life, it looks like it looks like a limp. It looks like a hip that's out of socket. And that's not what the world thinks power with God looks like. That's not what some, Christians. I don't know if they're Christians or not, but that's not what some churchgoers think power with God looks like. It's like a new birthmark. It's where the flesh has been afflicted now through the whole process of yielding to God or trying to get something from the Lord. You're seeking so much from the Lord. So what else does it look like in this chapter, back in Genesis 32? Not only does he have a new birthmark, but he also has a new name now. Jacob is no longer Jacob. Now his name is Israel. And Israel apparently means prince, like someone who has, I guess that's the definition of the name, so somebody who's a prince, has power with God. So he has a new name that deals with, and the new name deals with godly characteristics, not physical characteristics. You know what the world will give you because it's just physical. I mean, it's just the way the world thinks, but the world is great on giving you a new name that deals with some physical aspect of your life. You know, they call, and sometimes it can be sarcastic, they may call a real tall guy tiny or something like that. You know, I remember I had two nicknames when I was in the oil field and roughnecking. And I can say both of them. They're okay to say. one of them was Hoss, and one of them was Easy Money. And those were my nicknames. Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That was the French guys. That was for a short time there. But the world gives you a new name. It gives you a new name, and it's had some physical characteristic to it, you know. But when God gives somebody a new name, it has to do with spiritual qualities. And so Jacob's new name is Israel now. Why? Because he's a prince. He is somebody who is he's shown. I don't know how else to say it. I hate to keep repeating the phrase, but someone who has demonstrated some power with God there. And so that's his new name. He's got a new name. I think Peter gets a new name. There's so many guys that get new names. I mean, they get this new name, and Paul was Saul at one time. But all of these names, they have something to do with some spiritual characteristic. It's not a physical characteristic, it's a spiritual characteristic. And so Jacob walks away from this event being called Israel, and so his name, anytime you read the name Israel in the Bible, that's Jacob. And everybody that is an Israelite is somebody that came out of Jacob. There's some descendant of Jacob. So he's got a new birthmark, he's got a new name, and then this, that kind of goes with the new birthmark, but if you've ever, and I've never had my hip out of socket, but I did watch my mom have her hip out of socket, and that looks incredibly painful. And where am I going with all this? It's after this experience with Jacob and this angel, what does power with God look like in Jacob's life? It looks like a hip that's out of socket. It looks like a new name. And then it looks like a new walk. A new walk. And I mean, I'm spiritualizing it, obviously, but it's a new walk. Jacob never walks the same. All the way up until the very end of his life, the Bible says he's He's pronouncing blessings, and the Bible says he's leaning upon his staff. Well, he got this staff at this time. This is where he started to need this staff, because he couldn't walk straight. He couldn't lean on that leg like he used to. I remember last year when I went up to visit my mom and tried to help my mom and dad out, because she'd had that surgery, and she'd had hip replacement surgery. And you know, they try to get you back on your feet pretty quick, try to get you moving. They say motion is lotion and all that kind of stuff. It helps. Right, the people who've never experienced the pain. And so so she gets up and she's wheeling around in her walker, and she's going back into under her hospital bed there, and runs into the bed with the walker, and that was apparently enough of a jolt that sent her hip back out of place, the one that they just fixed. And so right after she bumped the bed with that walker, boy, that was it. We got her back in bed, and once she was back in bed, she wasn't moving. And everybody's trying to figure out, because, you know, obviously you're in pain after the surgery. So then you've got the doctors and the therapists are saying, well, you just got to move. And that's what everybody's thinking. Well, you're just in pain, and everybody's in pain. You just got to move. And she's like, I can't move. I just can't move. I can't move this leg. And so somebody was eventually smart enough to say, we need to take an x-ray of this thing. And so they took an x-ray, and sure enough, the ball had been come out of the socket again, and that's why she couldn't move her leg. And so then they had to redo the surgery like 2 days later. It's incredible. But just watching that pain, I can't imagine. Here's Jacob. Now his hip is messed up. Man, I mean, it's just... I don't know. I can't imagine it. But his hip is so messed up out of this whole experience. He never, from this day on, walks the same as he walked before. And that's I get it. I'm spiritualizing the thing, but it's a reality. It's just reality. And if somebody has power with God, they do not walk like they used to walk. They just don't walk the way they used to walk. It's life has changed. Life has changed abundantly. Life has changed for the flesh. It may not be good, and it's not good, but life has completely changed. And so those three elements, when that angel says that thou hast power with God, and he notes those three things. Those three things are noted in this chapter. It just really got me thinking. There is some idea of what power with God looks like, and it's a very sort of carnal idea of what it looks like. But when you deal with people who have power with God in the Bible, man, their lives, it's a new walk, it's a new name, it's a new birthmark. These are all elements of somebody who has sought God so energetically and so I don't want to say violently, but I mean they've really sought after God. They really want to get something from the Lord. Yeah, aggressively. There is a good word. Aggressively, yeah. And this is what Jacob's done here. Now, there are some people, I mean, they want to fast, and that's good. That's good. You want to get something from God, you start afflicting the body, man. It really helps. It helps. And so, consequently, when you find somebody who has power with God, I think... You'll see somebody whose body's probably been afflicted in some way. They got some new birthmark. I don't know how else to say it. It's not like a birthmark. It's like a new birthmark. And then they've got, there's a new name associated with their life, a new characteristics, these qualities that describe this new way of life. And then a new walk. You're not going to walk the same. You're just not going to walk the same as you did before. And so it reminds me of what Paul said. I'll read it to you. He said it over in Galatians. And I don't remember exactly the verse. I'm going to have to look for it here. There it is. I think I found it here. It's Galatians 6, about a new creature and a new man and all that stuff. And he says this. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So they just don't want to suffer for the cause of Christ there. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Here's the verse. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, verse 17. From henceforth, this is a good verse too. Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's Paul. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. What is that? That's some new birth marks. That's something he got because he's a new creature in Christ. And now the flesh has been afflicted because of that. That's something he got for trusting God. That's something that Paul got because of his power with God. He was someone that God could use mightily. Jacob, here's Jacob back in Genesis 32. He's got, I guess you could say, some new birthmarks. He's got a new name. He's got a new walk. All those elements a part of? They're a part of somebody that's got power with God is what they are. So I thought that was kind of an interesting phrase that showed up in that chapter. So I hope that's helpful to you. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray that this has been a help. I thank you so much for your words. I thank you for this time together. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us get out of these verses what we need to get out of them. I pray if anybody here is not saved, they'd understand their need for salvation, understand their need for Jesus Christ. I pray everybody, all of us here, would want to have the kind of power with God that Paul had, that Jacob had there. Lord, I thank you so much for the many blessings you blessed us with. Again, I lift up Amber's family to you. Pray that you'd provide safety to them and for Chris with the job interview that's going on. Pray you get the job, and then for Renee's children that they'd get saved, that you would work in their hearts and help them. Help them see some good examples. Help them hear the gospel and trust Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.